Brothers and sisters, I proclaim to you this morning the word of our God. As we could read it from John, Genesis, and Peter, I ask attention in particular for what the Lord has said in John 3, verse 3. In response to Nicodemus, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Truly, truly, that boils down to an oath. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. It raises the question, am I born again? Are you? Your closest neighbor is watching you. Do you think your closest neighbor would say, yes, he's born again? Or does your neighbor question it? And then the next question, of course, what do I have to do to get born again? How do I do that? Jesus said, truly, truly, it's an oath, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We understand, born again, it's necessary. I summarize the sermon then with this theme: Jesus stresses the need for a heavenly origin. And I ask your attention for 3 points. The first is, why do we need a heavenly origin? Then how do we get a heavenly origin? And in third place, so what? I mentioned in this theme something about a heavenly origin, and I want to come back to that. But permit me for now to ask you to check in your Bibles and read with me John chapter 3, look carefully at it. And you'll notice on top of the paragraph that forms our text is the words, you must be born again. That leads us to conclude that the central topic that Jesus speaks about in the whole paragraph is being born again. That's not quite accurate. Being born again appears only in the verses 3, 4, and 5, alluded to again in verse 7. But Jesus has something else in his mind, and that something else is the relationship between heaven and earth. Check with me. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, verse 2, and says, "We know you're a teacher come from God." Nicodemus and Jesus are on earth. Nicodemus says Jesus comes from God. Connection, heaven, earth. Jesus replies, verse 3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see, you're on earth, there's a kingdom of God, something heavenly. The word born again in your Bibles has a little footnote marker beside it, and it sends you to the bottom of the page. Or, says the footnote, from above, the Greek is purposely ambiguous and can mean both again and from above. I'll come back to that. But the reference to from above, that's heavenly. Meanwhile, you're on this earth. Verse 6. There's a reference there to being born of the flesh and born of the spirit. We understand the one's earthly, the other's heavenly. Verse 12. There's a reference to heavenly things, earthly things. Verse 13. ascending, descending from earth to heaven back again. In that theme congregation of the connection earth and heaven continues into verse 16. God, He's in heaven, so loved the world that He gave His only Son. The Son came to earth. That's repeated in 17. God in heaven didn't send His Son into the world, this earth, to condemn the world. And so it goes on. The central thoughts of the passage we read is, what's the connection between heaven and earth, earth and heaven? And all of that is rooted in Genesis chapter 1. The first word of the Bible is, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the whole point is, there are two rooms, can I say it that way, in God's creation. Downstairs is where people live. Upstairs is where God lives. And these two rooms in God's creation are not disconnected. On the contrary, the scripture is full of insistence that these two rooms are very intimately, very closely connected. And then it's true, we modern people tend to think in terms of this earth is where it's at. It's the thrust of our civilization. There is no heaven. Or if there is, heaven's empty. Or if it's not, the divine inhabitant doesn't bother himself much with things on this earth. In any case, when it comes to practical life, we're on our own. We're down here. We've got to solve our problems. But that's not, congregation, what Scripture teaches us. And this is something Nicodemus is supposed to know. Yes, God's dwelling's in heaven. But God put on this earth, His image bearer. And it's the privilege given to the human race on this earth to reflect what God is like. So that when anyone sees a person acting, doing, busy with whatever God gives them to do, you're meant to be seeing a footprint of heaven on this earth. That's the way God ordained it. Heaven and earth close together. Well, here's Jesus at the Passover, says chapter 2, verse 23. And He did many signs, not just the one recorded where He cleansed the temple. Multiple signs. Here's this man on earth, mandated to image God in heaven. He's doing many signs, and the result is people see and they believe. Presumably, Nicodemus too. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he says to Him, "We know You're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him." We're seeing, Jesus, something from heaven in You. Well, yes. You're supposed to see something from heaven in everybody. That's how God had created the human race. But because of the fall, we don't see that in everybody. But Nicodemus says, "But I see it in You, Jesus. There's something very heavenly. Something that reminds of God about You. You can't do these things You're doing unless God is with you." And Jesus replies, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We understand that kingdom of God, that's God's domain. It's where God rules. God himself in heaven, his kingdom in both rooms of his creation. He has dominion in heaven and he has dominion on earth. But unless one is born again, you can't see God's dominion on earth. You don't get. You don't understand that everything that happens around you on this earth is directed by God in heaven. To see that, to get that, to appreciate the link between earth and heaven, says Jesus, you need to be born again. Well, what is this born again? I mentioned already the footnote. The Greek is purposely ambiguous, says our footnote. The Greek uses a word that means above. So you need to be born from above. But that same word can also mean again. And of course, if you're born from above, well, you need to be born to begin with from below, right? All of us are. To be born from above is a second birth. So the word again makes perfect sense. But Jesus points to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus certainly gets that part. When Jesus used that play on words, he is talking about a birth from above that amounts to a second birth, hence again. But it turns out there is a second ambiguity here, and that's in the word translated as born. Unless one is born from above or again. When that word is used in relation to a mother, it's always translated as born, birth. We understand that. But that same word gets used in relation to a father. And then it gets translated as begat. So, Matthew chapter 1 has a genealogy that says, for example, Abram begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. It's the same word. Whether it's from the mother's side or the father's side is immaterial then. The point is your origin. And now Jesus says, what you're needing, Nicodemus, is a heavenly origin. You need an origin from above. You need to be begotten from above, born from above. Origin from above. His point, without roots in heaven, you cannot see the kingship of God in this world, the kingdom of God. You'll never get that he rules this earth. Now, let's pause for a second. Are you surprised, brothers, sisters, at the need for a heavenly origin, that you're needing to be begotten from above, birthed from above? And I trust you're not surprised, for How did you get here to begin with? Your origin and mine, congregation, stems from Genesis 2, where none less than the Lord God came from heaven to earth, collected dust, formed in the shape of a man, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. What's Adam's origin? From heaven. Begotten there, birthed there. We won't go into that one. But his origin is not simply from this earth, though he's made of dust. He has a heavenly origin because the Lord God formed him, breathed into him the breath of life. The result is Adam was so very aware of his dependence on heaven. Adam didn't live in a one-roomed creation, focused only on this earth, and this is all there is to reality. He knew of his dependence on upstairs. And what shall we say of us? If that's our origin in Genesis 1, we're equally dependent then on the Lord God. We sang Psalm 139. And what did we sing? Yes, of how we were conceived, begotten, birthed, born. But in the process, we confess with the psalm, it is the Lord God who wove us together in our mother's womb. The Lord God's been at work. He was busy forming us. What's your origin? My brothers, my sisters, our origin is from God. He fashioned us. Every baby born has divine fingerprints on him or her. And that's why the apostle can say elsewhere, in God we live and move and have our being. Our first birth is always from God. Let's take it farther. Who's Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, John 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things are made through him. Without him was anything made that was made. And the passage continues, and that Word became flesh. Who is Jesus from eternity in heaven with God? Through Jesus, God fashioned his world with both the upstairs and the downstairs, heaven and earth. And what did Jesus do? Went from upstairs to downstairs. The Word became flesh. Christmas. But how did it happen? The angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that which is conceived in you will be called holy, the Son of God. And so we say in the Apostles' Creed, he's conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He's begotten on this earth from heavenly origin, birthed on this earth from heavenly origin. And that's why the apostle can say in John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Heavenly origin. Are you surprised when Jesus says you need a heavenly origin? Beloved, you have a heavenly origin. That's where you come from. There is no person on this earth that's here without heaven. Then it's true. There's come the fall into sin. And with the fall into sin, a rejection of heaven, a denial of our origin, and a manner of living that would suggest there is no heaven. We're independent of heaven. We can do our own thing. And why did Jesus come? To reestablish the link to heaven. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Implication, Nicodemus, you and everybody else needs to be born again, born from above, a heavenly origin. Well then, second point, how do we get a heavenly origin? Nicodemus says to Jesus, this is too bizarre. How can a man be born when he's old? Born again? Born from above? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? He entered the first time, conception, begotten. Can he do that again and be born a second time? He's confused. Jesus answered, truly, truly, there's the oath again. I say to you, unless, Nicodemus, one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of water, what's the point? Nicodemus is a teacher in Israel. Nicodemus knows his Old Testament. Nicodemus knows that his first origin is from above. Genesis 1, Genesis 2 make that so very clear in Psalm 139. But Nicodemus knows too of the fall into sin and human depravity. So this world is lost. And what does this world need? To be cleansed of sin. The Old Testament law is so very clear that cleansing happens through washing. God would wash away sin. And that's the point that Jesus makes now. For God in heaven to be interested in sinners on earth, God needs to wash those sins away. So, Nicodemus, you need to be born of water. Sins washed away. And he says, you need to be born of the Spirit. The same Spirit that appeared in Genesis 2 when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. It's the same word that gets used. You need again the divine life. How's that to happen? Jesus doesn't explain the details. He does say the wind, that's the same word again, breath, wind, spirit, it's all the same word. The wind blows where it wills and you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with anyone who's born of the Spirit. You would be born from above. How does that happen exactly? Nicodemus, don't bother your head on the how of that. Recognize the fact it's necessary. You need your heavenly connection. That's basic biblical teaching, Nicodemus. You're a teacher in Israel. Don't you know this? And Nicodemus doesn't. So Jesus goes on to explain. And it's instruction, congregation, that you and I need very much to bear in mind. For what does Jesus say? Verse 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. Who is meant by the word we? We speak of what we know. Jesus is speaking from heaven. God sent his only Son into the world. In Jesus, God is speaking. On earth, through Jesus, is a heavenly voice. We speak of what we know. And what do we know? What does God know? Father, Son? Heavenly realities. In heaven, there is no denial that there's an upstairs and a downstairs. There is no denial. As a matter of fact, from upstairs, the Father sends his Son downstairs. There's a close connection. We speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. Jesus has come to earth, but you, the human race, do not receive our testimony. You want to think in terms of this world's only one room. And you're simply of the earth. And Jesus says, not so. If I tell you earthly things you don't believe, I've arrived from heaven to earth, I'm here. How would you not believe heavenly things? It's all too much. Because, says Jesus, you're thinking too this earthly, this worldly. The whole point of the passage of John 3 is Nicodemus, and so you and I need to think bigger than what the eye of the flesh sees. What we see is only this room of God's creation. Jesus' insistence is, but there's two rooms. There's an upstairs. You need very much to take that into account. How is one born again? How do you get a heavenly origin? From the work God does. That's how you got your first origin. That's how you get your second origin. Through Jesus Christ, washing away of sins, Jesus going to the cross. So then, if all of that is so, we're left with our third point, what's for us to do? How do we respond to this? You see, the temptation, when you read John 3, you must be born again, is to conclude, I've got to check the mirror. Am I born again? And if I'm not born again, I've got to make it my business to get born again. And that raises the question, well, how do you do that? What are you going to do to ensure that you are born from above? That's why I want to stress, congregation, Jesus does not give to Nicodemus a command to be born again. How could he? You do not command a person to get begotten. You do not command a person to get born. coming into existence, being begotten, happens to you. So to birth, it happens to you. It's the work of God above, on the earth below. But the same is true in relation to born again. Rebirth. And that is why you never find in the instructions of the apostles anywhere a command to be born again. It's just not there. It can't be there. So how are we to work with this material? Well, congregation, the Apostle John wrote his gospel for a particular purpose. It's recorded in John chapter 20, verse 30. These things are recorded that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What's for us to do? Embrace Jesus' words to Nicodemus. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm to embrace that reality. I'm to believe it. I'm to accept that this is true. There are two rooms in God's world, and I need an origin from above. Then entrust myself to the Christ who came from heaven to earth and went from earth to heaven. That Christ who came ended up on Calvary. And what happened on Calvary? Darkness. Perfect darkness. Why? Because God closed the blinds between heaven and earth, so there was no divine light left. That's why it's so dark on Calvary. God from heaven disowned Jesus on earth. What the human race after the fall wants to do. Close the blinds of heaven and say, God doesn't exist, disown God. That's what God did on Calvary. Disown Jesus on earth. And in Jesus, we understand, disowned every sinner on this earth. As if there was but one room left in God's world, only heaven. And Jesus on the cross did what? Continued to cling to God in heaven. Continued to trust God in heaven. Continued to obey God in heaven. And after 3 hours of this rejection by God, he cried out, "My God, my God! Why have you forsaken me?" And the whole point of it was, of course, Jesus reconciled earth below to heaven above. Has reconciled sinners to God. Those people on this earth who are supposed to image what God is like on earth. Through his sacrifice, he's washed sin away. So sinners can be washed by water, representing the blood of Christ. And then this Jesus went to heaven, went upstairs again, ascended into the presence of God, and from the presence of God poured out his Holy Spirit on this earth. And the Spirit testifies on this earth the realities of heaven and the connection between the two, between heaven and earth. And that Spirit makes His home in the hearts of sinners. Changes these sinners so that these sinners believe the reality of the two rooms, the connection upstairs and downstairs. That these sinners believe my origin is from above. My first birth from heaven. My second birth from heaven too. That's where I belong. You see, that becomes the question that Nicodemus had to answer. Do I believe this? That's why John wrote this gospel. That his readers would answer that question. Do I believe this? Is my origin, in fact, from above? Or do I reject it? And then there's the Apostle Peter. And he writes a letter to people on this earth. They're living in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. The Lord God has caused that letter to be preserved and sent to His churches around the world, including to us here in Smithville. And what does the Apostle say? Blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. That God's in heaven. Peter's on earth. Blessed from earth be this God in heaven. Why? According to His great mercy has caused us, to be born again. To be born from above. And because we're born again, says the Apostle, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's the living hope? An inheritance, verse 4, that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You're on this earth. But the Apostle's insistence to his readers is, you've got a treasure in heaven. Because your origin's from heaven. You believe Jesus is the Son of God, do you not? That God so loved the world that He gave His only Son? That whoever believes Him should not perish of eternal life? You believe it? Then you are of heavenly origin. There's your evidence you're born again. And because of your identity, there's a heavenly treasure in store for you. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Your God, my brothers, my sisters, has been at work, is at work, continues to be, so that people on earth have a heavenly origin. That's the gospel that's given to you, and you believe it. You do. That's God's mighty work. Amen. We sing hymn 48, stanza 4.